Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at TheMeatEater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What is happening, all you Woods people? We sitting here reminiscing about our boy Michael, talking about bands from the post-grunge era, and just really living life, man. Living it up, having fun. Actually talking about some serious stuff and some stuff that's not so much fun, but we're not going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about some of our preferences, some of
Shine
our
Down.
Favorites. Shine Down.
It was Shine Down.
Shine Down. Yeah, I remember that.
I hated that band. I'm sorry. I did not like them.
Oh, that's rude, dude. What if they're listening right
they
now?
They probably aren't. I probably shouldn't have said that.
It's all right, man. It's all right.
They just, it's just too much.
You've already offended three quarters of the audience. We have a long crossover with the Shine Down fans.
It's true. So, it's true, man.
In case you are wanting to shine a little bit, the First Light Charge Vest is out there. All right. Ooh. You're going to be nice, bright, and orange.
So shiny.
They just came out with it. It is going to be not your cheapo vest from the hardware store, but that's kind of one of the nice things about it, too. It's just a little nicer. It's going to be pretty durable. We've worn it a lot. Works pretty good. Check it out if you haven't, because First Light does support the Element, right?
Yeah.
It's part of what helps us do what we do.
And so, if Eric had been wearing one, he wouldn't have flown like Superman.
That's right.
We got proof.
You all see that. You might have seen it already, but we're going to post that again pretty soon because it's just so funny. We're going to talk about some funny moments today, actually. So, as y'all know, this time of year, there's just not a ton going on in the woods. And, yeah, you can probably be shed hunting if you're, from a northern latitude. Yeah,
fan.
You can just run around listening with your CD player, listen to some Shine Down, rocking out.
Just finding sheds.
Finding sheds. Yeah.
Shed down, baby. Let's go.
really, at least if you're in the southern portion of the U.S., it's already green up, and it's not turkey season yet for most of the country. There is a little bit down in South Texas, a lot of turkey hunting going on down there. It really is what we like to call podcast season around here, which is where we sit around and do our best Joe Rogan impersonation and just talk about stuff. So that's what we're going to do today, actually. We thought we'd try to just infuriate as many people as we can and talk about some of our preferences with stuff that we like and do. So, Tyler.
What's new?
Just bring us into this, man. What are we going to do here?
All right. We're gonna pose a bunch of questions here. I got a whole list of questions
because you're a poser. Can you pose things?
Yeah.
Was that an insult in high school for y'all?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Hey, you're a poser.
Do you understand it? I think it's interpretive. It's interpretive.
I think that the concept of being a poser was that you're like presenting yourself to be cooler than you are.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that poser was a term that punks developed and skaters developed.
Yeah.
That like if you didn't actually skate or you actually didn't have the punk mentality but you dressed like one, you were a poser.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or you kind of tried to act like one but you really weren't that rebel.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Saul Miranda from Sulphur Springs?
No, I don't.
He was just a really talented drummer, but he was one of the emo kids. in high school. And he doesn't listen, so I can say his full name. But I love Saul. He's a nice guy. He was very much a user of the term poser.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him calling people posers. Yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's a drummer, he probably had the right, you know?
He was good. He was good for sure. Yeah.
He wasn't with Fair to Midland, was he?
No, I don't think so. He was with Meat Flavored Crayons.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, definitely not a poser. I'm not familiar for some reason. But there are some things we'll talk about that include meat here coming up.
Yeah.
'Cause we're gonna try to keep a lot of this in the vein of hunting and fishing, but there is some stuff that's outside of that just because we're not just one dimensional guys. You know, I've realized that a lot of guys that hunt, this isn't a shot to you guys, but if you hunt and you're like a Westie or you're from the Rockies or West, a lot of those hunters that I've met over the years don't like sports, a lot of them, including Mr. Steve Rinella, where I trolled him on his Meat Eater podcast about being a power forward in college, and he had no clue.
No clue
that I was joking when I said that.
And there's even cooler people that wrote in and was like, what was Tyler talking about? Do you even actually play?
Yeah, there were people that were like, hey, I was really confused when you said power forward. That's not really a position in football, is it?
Like, sorry, guys. Dry humor is actually a lot of fun sometimes.
It is sometimes. I probably maybe should stay away. I don't know. But it's too much fun, man. And
part of the reason on that is that there's just, outside of the Denver Nuggets, which boo, but like there's not a lot of pro sport teams in the Rocky Mountain West.
Yeah.
You know, you got the coastal teams in California. There's a like Seattle, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
And then outside of that, there's no pro sports teams until you get to Denver. And then the next one is like Oklahoma City.
Phoenix.
You got Utah Jazz.
Yeah, there's a couple.
They're not real.
They were when they played Michael Jordan.
Actually, didn't they win recently? The Jazz had a good season like a year or two ago?
I think they're pretty solid right now.
Yeah.
Man, I don't have real TV.
I don't
either. That's one thing I do miss is basketball.
Yeah.
And we'll address that here in a little bit. I like the sport of basketball a lot. So,
yeah.
But what we're going to do today is we're going to go round robin. In not the same direction every time, not the same order every time, but we
Rockin' Robin.
Have two of our favorite people in the room with Casey and I. Got Mr. Eric Gentry. Say hello.
Hello.
Greg, say hi.
Hi.
Oh, perfect. All right. So we got Greg Latham and Eric Gentry here that you guys have heard on the podcast a couple times recently. We bring them in, we don't know what to talk about. So we're going to go through a list here, and at the end, we got a really cool question at the end. I'm really excited to talk about it because it's kind of different, kind of, something where you get to kind of humbly talk about yourself a little bit, I guess. So I'm pretty interested in that question, but we'll just go ahead and get started here.
One thing about this stuff that's fun. So if I can interject before we get started, this is a good thing to do the play along game at home with and a thought provoking thing. And if you have any thoughts or concepts that you want to share, in regard to what we say, I think it's the Element Podcast or the Element at meteor.com is the website. Or the email address you can send stuff to.
Yeah.
If you got anything to say or do.
You can also hop into KC's DMs. It's KC Smith, at KC Smith on Instagram.
Mm-mm. It's not, actually. Y'all never know.
Okay, so if you despise us after this, I am sorry. We
don't,
do have
actually.
To say things on a podcast, and we do have to have some opinions, and we're going to have some here. So here we go. We're going to make you mad. Eric, if you could hunt with anybody, who would it be?
You guys.
Stop.
No, that's not my answer, sorry.
You said Michael?
Jace Robertson.
Oh, that's nice. That's
good answer.
I like that. I like that a lot, man. I should have said that one.
What's your justification?
He's very wise, and I think it would just be fun to spend a day with him and pick his brain on everything.
That's cool.
Also a man of dry humor.
Yeah.
He has a lot of it. Greg?
If I had to hunt with anyone, it'd have to be the father of modern bow hunting, be Fred Bear.
Fred Bear, dude.
Would you play the song?
Hey, you cue the song right now. That was awesome. Okay, so KZ, you, I'm guessing, didn't choose Fred Bear.
I did not choose Fred Bear. Although, that's a cool answer. Mm-hmm. I chose Aldo Leopold. But not because the same reason that some of our other friends would say. I want to know, like, I want him to come now and hunt and talk to him and see if he really is how all these other people portray him to be. I'm going to say it that way.
You think there's a chance that he's not as, he shouldn't be as highly regarded? Or?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that, like Teddy Roosevelt and other people throughout history, people once people pass away, other individuals think they can take their name and then parade it around and put whatever message behind that name they would like to, as opposed to sticking with what the original message of the person
Greg
was.
Greg likes this.
Yeah. So I don't. I mean, I think that Aldo Leopold was had his own level of genius, right? He did a lot of cool things. I haven't read all of Sand County Almanac. I read a decent amount of it and have looked at a lot of his other work. And I respect his principles of wildlife management. But to think that he would view conservation the way that a lot of large conservation organizations do nowadays, I think is a little bit misleading.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I just want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And hunting with somebody is a good way to talk to him.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. I would probably, right now, I would choose to hunt with Tyler Toney of Dude Perfect.
That'd be cool.
I think he obviously doesn't talk or do too much about killing on Dude Perfect's channel, but I think that he's a pretty good hunter. I think he's hunted a long time. And I happen to think, honestly, he is a hilarious human. I mean, that dude is funny,
He's
dude.
Funny.
And just always a good time. He reminds me a lot of you, where you're just always just energizer battery and not afraid to just be the guy that's just going wild, you know?
Yeah. I thought you might say Theo Vaughn.
Oh, no way. No way. There's some funny things that he does. There's some gross things that he does, too. Yeah. So I just not, like...
It's interesting how some people build their personas, you know. And he's a comedian is what he is, right? Mm-hmm. And you've talked about this recently, but, like, there's this thing that people do where, like, the real Theo Vaughn might not even be all like that, but he's building a persona that makes him a living. And I guess commendable would be a word for it. Not that I agree with everything he says and does, but I kind of get it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my guy. I like him. I think he's also a believer, so I really would like to hunt with him, just share the woods for a little bit. All right, Greg. Top three favorite outdoor personalities pre-2010.
I went with Jim Shockey. Oh.
Wait, this is 3-2-1?
3-2-1.
Okay.
Jim Shockey, Michael Waddell, and Ted Nugent.
I knew it had to be, dude.
Ted Nugent in the 2000s was wild.
Oh, man. Pretty cool. And you have a Ted Nugent story, right?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, more than I do.
Do what?
More than I do.
Yeah.
You met him.
Well, I lived in Waco, Texas, so I met him on multiple occasions. So.
Yeah. Did you meet him at Guitar Center, though?
No, it was at an amplifier shop.
That's pretty cool, though, dude.
That is cool.
Was he playing Fred Bear on his guitar?
No, but he was playing a bunch of like old like Amboy Dukes type stuff, his first band. But it's pretty cool.
Old Theodore Nugent. he's a very intellectual guy. I used to like reading his I don't know if he still does. He used to write for a magazine called Texas Fish and Game, I think. And my dad used to get it, and I used to read. Man,
that's a good publication.
The dude can write. You cannot argue with it. Like, he can put you in the moment and put these words together that are just, like, just fiery. And from what I understand, he can, like, just say it that way, too. Like, it's not like he's having to, like, go to the internet to find what word he actually wants to use.
I wonder how that works, because I follow him on Twitter, and his Twitter is not that way.
Well.
But I feel like he kind of Trump tweets, where he just like, as fast as he can, and gets stuff out.
Yeah, and misspells it. And all that stuff. Yeah. What about you, Eric?
Mine is Jim Shockey, Lee Lukowski, and Waddell.
Yeah. You you didn't hunt pre 2010, right?
No, but like I started watching hunting shows in like 2008. So yeah. I saw a little bit of it.
Sure. And you can always go back and look at that stuff too. I'm sure mm-hmm. you've watched some old stuff. And also, those guys have been around a long time. They have a tenure and a resume. What about you, KC?
Gordon Eastman.
Oh.
Jim Shockey, which I think is 3 for 4 so far. Mm-hmm. And Roger Ragland. Mr. Jiminy Christmas himself.
I knew you were going to pick Roger Ragland.
I love Roger Ragland, dude. I love him.
Dude, he's a really good piano player.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Really?
He kind of has a Freddie Fender vibe a little bit.
You know
bit,
what they
you
know call what those? Pianists.
That's it. Yep. That's right. So, yeah. I thought those would be. Those are all pretty cool.
Those are
cool
good. Guys. Those are good guys. For me, I'm going to go 3-2-1 again. The first VHS hunting video I ever had was a Whistling Wings video, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. It was just birds pouring in, just coming in to eat all this corn that they had been baiting holes, you know. And Toxie Hayes was the Whistling Wings guy at the time. Like, he was just kind of – I think he did all the narration, and I just remember seeing him a bunch. So, like, from my earliest childhood memories, watching that stuff was Toxie. So – just kind of got used to that, and I always thought he was cool. so he's number 3. Michael Waddell is number 2. That's 3 of 4 as well. And Phil Robertson is probably my favorite. I used to watch him. I always knew him as Duck Commander, and everybody was asking me, you know, talking about Duck Dynasty back probably, like, when was that, like mid-2010s, whenever that was kind of at the height. And everybody would talk about Duck Dynasty, and be like, And I would have to, like, it clicked quickly, but yeah. It would have to click before I realized who they were talking about, because I'm like, oh, you Duck Commander guys, you know? Yeah.
I was the same way. I watched field tapes whenever I was a kid, you know, with my dad. And then the same thing, that's why I picked Gordon Eastman, because, like, Pop had some of those, you know, cassette tapes or whatever from the 80s, you know, like just old mule deer videos and stuff. That's kind of like my first memory of outdoor production was that stuff.
Y'all excuse me if I'm coughing a bunch. I got a bunch of allergy stuff going on right now. All right. KC, this one's a good one for you to start with. Top three favorite natural food sources for deer.
All right.
I'm guessing everybody did for deer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have plum leaves because I didn't know it until this year.
Please.
But I killed a deer.
Leaves
on buck truck in South Dakota relating to plum leaves and then I have where did it go persimmons you know I have actually yet to kill a deer over persimmons, but I know they work really well especially where we live and they're really great places for trail cameras. And then snowberry, which is something that you find out west that the deer absolutely hammer.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, speaking of pleaves, that's those things in your your shirt.
Yeah.
I noticed
pre-made wrinkle.
The one Steve Ranello was on CBS this week, right?
Dude, and, such a wrinkled shirt.
Golly, dude. He had so many pleaves in his shirt, dude. That's what the first thing Kaylee said. I wouldn't have probably noticed it, but she said that as soon as she saw the picture, and I was like, I guess nobody had any wrinkle release around.
It's 40 chest, dude. It's just another way to get pub.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, it's all like good.
People talk about it.
Well.
What's yours?
I'm going to go next. Persimmons at number 3, and I have killed two deer, I think, over persimmons. On public, and
I got close to killing a deer one time over percent.
You did,
yeah.
I was filming, that's why I know. Willow/swamp oak acorns, or what KC calls water oaks. The reason those are above persimmons for me is because when we struggle, or when I feel like probably a lot of deer hunters struggle the most, is late season, unless they have big bean fields or some sort of late food source, right? That's still good. Like, and when I say food source, I mean like an agriculture food source. So when we don't have that, things are real tough on public land when you don't have big ag around like we do at home. And so we kind of cut our teeth in East Texas hunting, And we had to spend time in December trying to kill deer in East Texas. And that ain't easy. And one of the things we could rely on was that those little tiny tannin-filled red oak acorns would be breaking down in December and January and still falling some too. And you would see where hogs especially, but deer a lot of times would get in there and get after them. Mm-hmm. I know you had some pretty good hunts at Babylon around, because that's a swamp oak tree.
Yeah,
there,
it's a giant tree we set up in right there that's got them. It's those little orange, like the meat inside that acorn's orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on the same track of just late season stuff, I've noticed where if there's still sumac around, deer will eat those sumac berries mm-hmm. off those thickets, and they, you know, they kind of just like to hang around them because it's good cover. So those are my top three. What about you, Greg?
I put greenbrier because I know deer eat it pretty often, but it also kind of correlates where like good bedding is
mm-hmm.
a lot
yep.
of times. So I did that. Snowberries
mm-hmm.
From what we saw this past year, deer just annihilating those. And then just fresh fallen leaves. Like the deer I shot this year on Texas Public mm-hmm. was just eating leaves off the ground like crazy.
Was he eating the bodark leaves? Because you were sitting right in a bodark, right?
I'm not sure if it was bodark or I'm not sure what it was. It could have been. But also in Arkansas, we saw where any kind of tree that was freshly fallen
right.
over, deer were just all over those, those fresh tops.
I've seen that a lot, too.
One-Eyed Jack was eating dead bodark leaves.
Crunchy.
In December.
So did Nameless.
Yeah.
It had a crunchy cottonwood leaf.
Yeah.
Yep.
What on earth?
Yeah. It's weird. Mm. They're getting something. Fiber or something. I don't know.
Carbs.
What about you? Yeah.
Speaking of the carbivore.
What's your favorite natural food source? For deer, not for you.
Yeah. I did snowberries, soapberries.
Oh, hey.
And in general, just acorns.
Acorns.
Yeah.
Yeah, acorns.
Okay, man. Good stuff. Let's keep going. Top three favorite wild game dishes.
You start.
All right. Backstrap. All this is fried, by the way. Backstrap, turkey strips, and any seafood.
Golly, dude. It's the generalist over here. You just got everything you
can
eat.
Dude, it's the best.
I know. Maybe I should have put some of that. I didn't. I put elk steak and eggs, which is a really good meal.
That's usually morning after you packed one out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the, you know, there's kind of a thing with that.
Yeah,
or the night of. When we packed out the Arizona cow this year, I think it was like 1:30 a.m. whenever I started cooking or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was,
dude.
But it was worth it.
But it's there is a thing with it, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even there's a little thing when you get back and you're still just in normal life. There's mm-hmm. something different about cooking the meat that you killed. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to get too hippie, but for real, like, it just means more, man.
Oh, yeah. And then the Marry Me Duck that Scott cooked us this year.
Oh, dadgummit.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was real good.
Yep.
I don't know if that's what he called it, but he said it's kind of like Marry Me Chicken. It's pretty much duck with Alfredo sauce, and it was spicy. Yeah, it was real good.
It was real good, yep.
And then turkey pozole is still one of my favorites, yeah. man. It's so good. Yeah,
those are good.
Yeah, just tasty.
Good choices. Thank Eric, you. I probably should ask you first, man. You're the food guy here.
Am I?
Yeah. You love your food, man.
I really like the way you cook the reds down.
Yeah.
Half shell?
Yeah.
That's yummy,
yeah. So that's my third.
That's cool. Healthy, too,
and
man.
And then just an elk backstrap.
Mm.
And then Italian venison is what I just love to make,
yeah.
so.
Yummy.
Greg?
Yeah, I put a wild pulled pork, like that pulled pork I made the other day.
Speaking
it's one of my favorites.
I just inherited a roasting oven from my grandparents, which will do the same thing, and we don't have to, like, we can plug it in outside and do it.
Nice.
So
that's cool.
We're good there.
Greg makes really good pulled pork, by the way.
Yeah, it's just, like, the easiest thing to do with a whole, like, shoulder or quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty cool.
But yours was, the way you did it, it wasn't dry.
Mm.
And like that, I did Neil Guy neck roast the other day, and it's good, but it's a little bit dry. But I left it in like an extra 4 hours because like some of the like gelatinous stuff hadn't really broken down. I really wanted to pull it, but I was like, well, maybe I just need to leave it longer so it breaks down. But maybe I should have just like pulled the meat off that gelatinous stuff and just called it good, and it wouldn't be. It's not bad dry, but it's a little bit dry.
Mm-hmm. I always have to pull it out at like 3 hours and like put more oil and seasoning on it.
That's what I probably should have done. Put oil on it.
Yeah, and then I put any kind of backstrap, whitetail backstrap, elk backstrap, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But the best meal was the Nilgai and redfish half shell. Like
it was so good, dude.
That was the best dish.
Hammer.
It was. It
by
was.
By far.
Man, then you're right. You're
we
right.
worked our tail off that day, too. So, like, it was also, for us at least, you know, like, yep. those meals that replenish you are yeah. they're really good, too. Mm-hmm.
Plus that, like, that's just good, like, good for you food, man. Mm-hmm. There ain't no, like, fried is tasty, but it ain't, you know, always that good for you. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater. .com. Hope to see you at the show.
All right, here we go. Eric, this is your question, dude. For real, not the food question, but top three athletes of all time.
All right. I got Deion Sanders.
Number three?
Yep.
I almost put Deion.
He's hacked, dude. That's a pretty good one.
Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Oh. Oh.
That's not saying LeBron's better at basketball. This is
just a better athlete. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand the struggle with this. I'll have more to say on that, too.
We'll say it.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Eric, I'm with you, because we had to clarify this a while ago. It's not who you like the most. Mm-hmm. And the people on my list, two of them I like a whole lot. One of them I don't like very much. I'll let y'all figure out who that is. Right. You probably can make some inferences. LeBron James is my number three as all-time athletes. The dude's a freak athlete. You can't mm-hmm. not say that. Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe was...
SMU guy.
Is he?
Let me look that up. Let me fact check that.
I don't know
that.
Where Jim Thorpe went to college. He's a... Indian guy who was an Olympian, just a freak athlete, kind of before – he's a football player, but kind of before, like, the modern-day sports athlete.
Maybe he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Where did he go to school?
Where did he go to school? I'm looking. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. I'll list my number one. My number one is Bo Jackson. I think Bo Jackson is one of the best athletes that has ever been born.
Mm-hmm. Also a hunter.
Yeah, buddy.
Yep. Greg.
I went a little different direction just to make people rage a little bit. I went with the three best athletes who are able to dominate their sport.
Okay.
And so I went with Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So number three?
There's kind of no order to this, but yeah. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady.
There you go.
Yeah.
Domination station.
I mean, I see where you're coming from. I would definitely say that two of those people aren't even that athletic, but mm-hmm. they definitely dominated their sport. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Tiger fan, too.
Man, who I don't. I'm trying to think of who I was thinking of. Jim Thorpe went to Carlisle College.
Carlisle College. How about that?
Sorry about that, y'all. I got two.
Were you thinking about Forrest Gregg?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking about. Thorpe, old, Forrest.
Como Picton guy. No, he went to Sulphur Springs. That's right. But really? The Gregg family's from Como.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine. I'm going to say this is. There's so many good ones, right? Mm-hmm. But top three, starting at number three, Shaq. Shaq. For a guy that his size, just absolutely so athletic, right? Yeah. MJ, just freak athlete. And I hold basketball players in high regard as far as athleticism mm-hmm. goes. That's why those two are there. And then Bo Jackson. I got to agree with you. And I just like him, man. He's a hunter. Cool. You know what I mean?
He's cool. He's also – he speaks well, too. Like, he's one of those people that when he talks, you listen, which has nothing to do with athleticism.
Well, LeBron speaks well. Like, yeah. There's a reason the dude gets all the interviews, not just because he's good. Sometimes there's dudes that have better games, but they want a LeBron interview because the dude is thoughtful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
two, I wanted a name was Odell Beckham because he's a freak.
Yeah. That's he married Posh Spice.
Spice. You know, that was a hard thing on that one because my mind always goes to football because those guys usually display their athleticism a lot, but like you never know if a football player is also good at other stuff, you know.
Well,
and that's why Deion's a good choice.
I mean, football is a Texas thing, so we just kind of automatically go that way, but yeah. On that note, I'll just add this as a side question. Favorite QB, your favorite QB, not necessarily the best.
Do you mean pro or anything?
Okay, well, Johnny.
Johnny Manziel for sure is going to always be my favorite, man.
Okay, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it.
The best college QB of all time, man. That's all there is to it.
I don't know, man. That's hard statement to make there.
I'll make it. I don't even care.
All right. No, I know you. I know you don't. We get in trouble for us not caring sometimes. So probably growing up, I thought Troy Aikman was just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I remember those days.
So I probably had to say, like, he's up there for me. What about you?
My favorite was Mike Vick.
Yeah, Lefty.
Did you like Eagles Mike Vick or Falcons?
Falcons.
Mike Vick?
Falcons, yeah. For sure, dude. Mm-hmm. What about you, Greg?
My favorite was Peyton Manning, but regular season Peyton Manning. He didn't. He'd always lose in the playoffs.
Rude,
dude. He was the best quarterback.
Dude, I like in the regular season. Peyton,
yes.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna say Deshaun Watson being a Houston fan, man.
No,
no, okay. No, why not?
No, why not?
Okay. Top three antagonists of all time. KC, we're going to start with you because you're going to beat us all here.
I like antagonists just because I like a good thick plot in a movie or a story, so it takes a good antagonist to make that happen. Which this one probably doesn't qualify as that, but Iceman from Top Gun was a real good antagonist because he was a lot of times antagonists are trying to, like, backdoor their way into stuff or whatever, but Iceman was just the best. He was he was good. He was good-looking. He was cool. He was everything that, you know, like, the Top Gun should be. And then Maverick, like, came in and kind of weaseled his way into being, you know, or whatever. Mm. So Iceman was a good antagonist. Jafar off of Aladdin.
Oh, man.
Because he was a cool character, man. He was, like, it's just kind of weird and cool. And then Darth Maul, which y'all probably don't even know who that is.
I do.
Okay. If you're a Star Wars fan, Darth Maul is far and away way better than Darth Vader, even though Vader is cool, don't get me wrong. But Darth Maul's story throughout the Star Wars franchise is way better. So you have to watch the cartoons to actually care about Darth Maul, which makes me real lame. But it is what it is.
I don't know if I did mine right or not. Mine are, like, more villains.
No, that's it, yeah.
And literally all mine are movies. So, Sharptooth Land Before Time.
Very nice. Yeah, that's cool.
I thought that was a Bond character or something.
Yeah, that's Jaws. A good one. Remember Jaws? Like how you went, like through the years here, when you were a little kid.
Yeah. The Beast from Sandlot.
Dadgummit.
That's a good one, dude. That's a good one.
And then the Joker from Dark Knight.
Mm, yeah.
Nice.
I haven't watched many movies, so I struggle with this one and the next one. But The Beast was my number three, dude, and from Sandlot. And so to explain, that's actually a dog that ends up being
Hercules,
a good dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then
which is James Earl Jones, who plays the character who owns that dog, who is Darth Vader. So how about that
connection?
Interesting. Yes.
Movie buff. So then I kind of went to like real life people, Hitler and Judas.
Mm.
So.
Mm.
Those were
scarier.
Well, yeah. I could. Okay. yeah, real people. Greg.
Well, I thought we changed it to protagonist.
Oh, so. Well, we did, but we're gonna do both of those. Yeah. So sorry.
Well, why don't you start us with protagonists, and then maybe you can think about antagonists when we answer. Right.
Protagonist. I've got William Wallace of Braveheart.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
I've got Neo from The Matrix.
Oh, cool.
And then. Kind of a silly one. I did Ace Ventura.
Oh, yes. Nice. Yes. Nice. Dude, I watched a video on Jim Carrey this morning. Apparently, he's a believer.
Yeah, I saw that too. Sort, very interesting.
Like, I mean, it's kind of a little bit, everybody's still trying to figure out. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, he's at least speaking deeply on some things. Yeah. It wasn't like it was just like a popular Christian thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Good call. Do you like the first or second movie better?
The second one.
Me too.
What's that one?
When Nature Calls.
Oh, yeah, that one's... Yeah, dude. Gosh, dude, it's the funniest stuff there is, man. I hold silver, away!
What's funny is everybody has quotes from that movie.
They're all different.
But everybody has different ones.
Because there's so many.
That's right, man.
Yeah. Oh, so good. All right, how about a quote? You got a quote? Anybody got a quote from that movie?
Ladies and gentlemen, lend me your ears!
Yeah.
There's something in my teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's and then ones, oh yeah, dude, Bat Guano. it's all good.
Okay, what are your protagonists?
My protagonists are I have this all written down. Here we go. The Permian football team from the Friday Night Live story is one of my favorite because. We're all the right age for, like, that movie to really hit home hardcore. Mm-hmm. If you played ball, like, it was one of the few movies I, like, cried my eyes out in the movie theater whenever I watched it, you know? Yep. That's a good protagonist for me. I think Forrest Gump is one of the all-time protagonists from movies.
Yeah.
You have to love Forrest Gump.
That is a good one, man.
And then Jesus being the top and almighty of protagonists, of course.
Yep, I'm not much of a movie buff, but I do know your two movie references there. I have seen those, so I'm kind of jelly that I didn't get those, man. My top three protagonists, the first one could be an antagonist too. Moses.
Okay.
The entirety of the Boston Tea Party. Can I just go ahead and say that?
That's good.
lots of protagonists.
Yeah.
And just a protagonist theory there.
Hey, explain to me the difference in a stamp and a license while we're talking about the Boston Tea Party.
We'll have to get Hunter in here to do that.
Okay, so, thanks.
make it have somebody from
tax
meet
equals
or
stamp,
do that too.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then stamp equals...
Tags.
License. okay. Anyways, continue.
Okay, and then my last one is also Jesus.
All right. Yeah. Way to go.
Dang.
Eric?
One of them is Al from Angels in the Outfield. He's the angel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were talking about Al Bundy or whatever his name is, that guy off of Married with Children.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good one. Michael Jordan in Space Jam.
Mm.
Not yeah, Michael one. Jordan.
No, okay. And then just Ninja Turtles. I don't know if that counts, but
yeah. Which one's your favorite?
Raphael.
Is he the one with the red band?
Yeah. I think Leonardo is my. No, is Leonardo the blue one? Who's that one?
Yes,
that's the blue one. Right?
I don't have a clue.
I think
Ninja
Leonardo
Turtles.
Is my favorite.
Michelangelo's orange.
Our generation watched Ninja Turtles like the cartoon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I never watched that.
Really?
Yeah. So
the movies are the best. Though.
Just like missed that on
like,
that.
Claymation.
All I remember from the movies is they had on like the Japanese hat things at some point in time. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Them cone hats? They're trying to keep hidden.
That's all I know.
But they were in ginormous muscle turtle suits.
Greg, got your antagonist?
Yeah, I went with Darth Vader, Hitler, and Kim Jong-un.
Dennis Rodman's favorite person. It's pretty good, man. Yep. All right. Now, there's this thing that we're thinking about starting here, y'all.
Okay.
It is called Michael Moments.
Mm.
We are missing our Michael right now. He is out hunting birds in some swampier areas. And we are going to go ahead and talk about our favorite Michael moments from the season. or I guess technically since we met him and started hanging out with him in August pretty much.
Yeah. I'm going to give a little backstory on Michael.
Okay.
Just so people know. Mm-hmm. Michael is a Gen Z. He's younger than the rest of us. He's 23 years old now. Very mature, astute man for his age. Mm-hmm. Has his head on straight, and we love him to death.
You say stupid? No. Stupid. Stupido.
But a lot of humor comes from a little bit of the age difference in this stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why we miss little Michael.
We love young Mike, man.
We do.
Eric. Go ahead. Yeah.
Eric, whoever. You're his roommate.
The Arkansas slip and slide.
Does anybody else have a different one?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
That's mine too.
But that also, there's another answer that could go for too. So, wait. We're going to post that as a reel soon.
Yeah,
we'll do that. And we'll just make sure everybody knows what that is because it's hilarious.
Dude, I literally was about to fall out of the boat.
I know, dude. I was trying to concentrate on navigation, but it was tough. Greg?
That was one of them, but I had a different one. Arizona, the mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. Okay, why?
His face swelled up so bad. Like, Casey was like, had to like do a double take at him. Like, does Michael really look like that?
Oh, yeah. I took a picture the next day. In town, he was still slightly swollen, but it was nothing compared to, like, the first day.
Quick story to fill people in. He got eaten up by mosquitoes and swole up, right?
Yeah, we all got eaten up by mosquitoes, but Michael just had the worst reaction to it.
Yeah, he's allergic to stuff.
Yeah, poison ivy.
Poison ivy.
Nebraska, that dude looked like an ogre.
Yeah.
A one-eyed ogre.
You know why? Because from Tennessee. Like, he's so allergic that just the oil that was still in his hoodie was what did it to him.
Yep.
It's weird.
What about you, Casey?
My favorite Michael moment is a setup where you all set me and Michael up and made me be a mean guy because you sent me to Walmart in Illinois. And I asked for a list of what people needed. And you put that Michael needed deodorant. And I just thought that he needed deodorant. So I got him deodorant and then handed him that and said, hey, they said you needed this. And he looked at me like he didn't know why I've got him deodorant. Well, ends up, y'all were just making fun of him for being stinky.
Yeah.
And made me look like I was being mean.
Oh, gosh, dude. That's good.
That was complex humor. That was good.
Yeah. All right, I'm going first on this next one.
Okay.
Most likely to fall in the woods.
Wait, you didn't give your Michael moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I said it was same as theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You got another one that you can think of real quick that is funny? It's hard to remember this stuff. If not, sorry to put you on the spot, but.
Oh, Poison Ivy was a pretty good one. there's some good sayings we got.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of inside jokes. Mm-hmm. So, most likely to fall in the woods, Mr. Scorpion Hunter Dickens.
That's my answer,
too. That was my answer.
Everybody?
Yeah. Everybody agreed.
I experienced the first Hunter fall. Actually, I think it was when he tried to shoot me with buckshot. Did he fall, Dan? No, he dropped the camera
Didn't drop it. He threw
your camera in the water. That's right. no, he fell in the day before you killed in South Dakota in 2021. We went into that place and discovered there was bucks around. And that afternoon, we got locked in there with a deer that was right underneath us walking around. And so we stayed like 45 minutes after dark. We were like almost 2 miles back in there. And, I mean, it was so late when we got it. It was early season, too, you know. So we were in there just in the dark. Well, we get down the tree finally, And when you're the cameraman, you're kind of at the mercy of the hunter. So, I mean, I didn't really want to be in there, but that's what he wanted to do. I already tagged out. So we get down, and he starts walking up the hill, and he doesn't go like four steps before it literally kicks himself in the back of the head. He falls so hard, dude.
The same year, didn't he do the same stuff in Oklahoma?
Yeah, I was filming him, and it was like last day, so we're just trying to kill a doe maybe, and we saw a group of does like go over this hill, and he's like, all right, let's go, and he starts taking off running and takes like two steps and then just eats it. I'm pretty sure he busted his lip too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He did. I remember that. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Everybody's Got Hunter is the most likely to fall. Funniest moment of 2022, Greg?
I put Arizona when we were packing up camp.
That's I thought about that.
Like, we were so tired and just packed out an elk and ate, cleaned up the camp, and like I was like changing clothes or something. I was like taking forever to get to bed. And then like as soon as I get in the tent and like just lay my head on the pillow, Casey was like, this weather looks pretty bad. Yeah. We should probably pack up camp and find a hotel.
That's my number one too.
Did y'all
like,
laugh about this?
Yeah.
We were
joking real hard after because it's a
it
good
was
night.
Like hysterical.
We were delirious.
Yeah. Delirious, but we killed an elk, so everything's funny whenever you had success.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Dude, I had like literally just fallen asleep and I hear Casey say, I think we should probably pack up.
Well, what's funny is everyone agreed.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're like, okay, yeah. Because we made our tent, a camp, underneath a kind of a dead tree. Mm-hmm. And I was assuming, it was like, there's not going to be, you know, storms coming in from the southwest. And sure enough, there's a giant storm coming in from the southwest that would blow this thing around. We talked about going back there this year at some point in time just to see if that tree fell, to see if it was the right move or not. Funny because I thought about putting that one too, but I didn't.
What'd you put?
I put Michael falling on the bank first, but then I was like, okay, well, that probably will be used by a lot of people. And then the next one I put was where we stayed in Oklahoma this year. There was a gentleman staying next to us.
Oh, my gosh.
Who on the first night decided to exit his primary residence and expel whatever the contents of his stomach were in the middle of the night. So it freaked everybody out.
Pookie Paul?
No, that's not what freaked everybody out.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. And we pulled back in a couple of nights later.
For the record, I wasn't freaked out.
I wasn't that freaked out. I didn't like the guy throwing up next to us, but I wasn't freaked out. They all thought he had the zombie disease or something, okay? So it was especially Michael. I think it's a Gen Z thing, like going to hype like the scary thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was his size, I'd be scared a lot more than I am, too. So, we were pulling back in a night or two later, and you could see into this guy's residence. And they were swearing up and down he had a Jason ski mask just hanging out in the RV.
Somebody said, it's a gas mask.
and I were like, no, it's a hat.
I binoed it in there. It's like a Navy hat. Dude. Yeah. Like an ex-military hat or something.
Dude, just making this guy out to be just something that he's not, man. He was a nice guy. Yeah. Oh. So I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, but that's like situational humor when you look back on it. And like, that was funny, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's yours?
Mine has to do with Michael as well. So we had this thing in the element. Y'all are gonna think we're so dumb, man. y'all are gonna think we're weird, which we kind of are. But you know, we had this thing called Fugees.
Oh no! Oh no! You'll get in trouble.
So you poke somebody in the rear with your finger, you know, or you can use anything really, but. It's easy when you always got a finger around. You know,
extend a Fugee is pretty nice sometimes.
Michael was in the back of my truck when we were in Arkansas in December, and we were at camp, and it was dark outside. We just got back to camp, and he was in my truck. We were making him get something out of my truck, I think. I don't think he was in there. I think we made him, so this makes it even worse, you know, because he had to be in
there. Well, he like I alluded to a while ago, he's the smallest of us all.
Yeah.
So he ends up doing this.
So he's getting in the back.
He's not small, for the record. Sorry to interrupt you. No. He's not, like, tiny, but he is skinny.
I've got a little camper, you know, topper or whatever in the back of my truck. It's not easy for a 6'1 to get back there, and I do it. But, like, you know, he got back in there. He's rummaging around. No, this was in your truck.
What was it?
Because the side window was open on the camper. Oh, and, dude, I just couldn't help myself. I walked by the truck. I'm leaving my truck, walking by the truck. He's in the back case. He's bent over, and I freaking poke him right in the hole, dude.
No. Oh.
And he raises up really hard and smokes his head on the top of the camper. Yeah, I got him good, man. He banged his head on the back of the, on the top of the camper hard. So that's my second favorite
that
Michael moment.
That is funny.
2022.
I'm seeing stars a little bit right now.
All right, I'll give you a break. All right, Eric, you're a snacker.
Yes, sir.
Top three deer hunting snacks.
Well, KC earlier said Reese's, so Reese's Fast Break for sure.
Ooh, those are yummy.
Yep. You said in camp too, right? So like chips and salsa. Is that camp?
Yeah. It's a good one.
And then there's a thing at Casey's. I call it the Casey's Brick of Goodness, and it's like Rice Krispie peanut butter with like a layer of chocolate on top of it, and it is so good.
How many of those did you eat last week?
I didn't get one.
Oh man, look at you, dude.
I should have.
Nice. At those are yummy.
KC's or Casey's?
Casey's.
Like Casey Smith?
Yeah.
Greg.
I did top three deer hunting snacks based off taste and how quiet are they to eat.
Oh, okay.
So no Nature Valley.
No
way.
I went with peanut butter crackers as my three.
That's your top snack in general.
I mean, kind of.
I thought turkey sandwiches was his top snack.
That's up there.
Yeah.
Those are the top three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For deer hunting, we got peanut butter crackers, Pop-Tart,
mm-hmm.
and then my number one is Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie.
Mm. That's right.
They're good.
Yeah, those are tasty for sure. Mine, I went with stuff that's in your backpack. So not that you did it wrong, Eric, but right. In my mind, I was thinking in your backpack.
I mean, I might have chips and salsa.
You might.
Never know.
I did it in the backpack thing, too.
Yeah. So my number five is a breakfast burrito. I have done that a few times where you stop on the way or make some and have them with you in your pack for the morning. I don't really snack too much in the evenings. If I do have food, it's usually in the mornings because I'm hungry. Reese's, but just like a Reese's cup.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Reese's cups are good.
Mm-hmm.
And then my top one is the cranberry walnut trail mix. It has like the pumpkin seeds and stuff in it. That is my all-time favorite trail mix. I will eat it for a meal. I love it.
I chose number three, old Wisconsin jerky sticks.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Pop-Tarts at number two.
Mm-hmm.
This has changed, by the way, in the last year or two as I get older, more wise. Dried bananas, number one.
Mm,
so
yummy.
You can't do dried bananas just in general because they're nasty, right? One time we were at Bucky's. If you don't know what Bucky's is, you should go search it right now. It's the like world's biggest convenience store, right? 100 pumps, 100 gas pumps. It's just like going into Walmart, except for all the people in Walmart are packed into like a place that eighth the size of Walmart.
It's a Texas thing.
Yeah. So we go into Bucky's. I find dried bananas, and they look pretty good. And I look, and there's one ingredient. It's bananas.
Perfect.
I'm like, hey, this is good stuff here, mm-hmm. right? It's Bucky's brand. Take it out. Get in the car, start driving away, and I open it up, and they're all brownish. And I'm like, oh, nasty. You never seen dried bananas that are brown. I made a terrible decision here, you know. Start eating them. It tastes like banana nut bread. This is the best thing ever. And so I was like, oh, I can make these at home. They're made out of bananas. Just don't dry them out till they make chips, you know. You don't make chips of them. Just make, you know, somewhat preserved by dry air bananas, like a good beef jerky that's not dried out, you know. And I make them now, and, dude, if you do them right, you figure it out, it's just can't beat it, man. So that's my favorite. What's the best Pop-Tart flavor?
Strawberry is hard to beat, yep. But I like the cinnamon one.
Yeah. Regular brown sugar.
Brown
cinnamon.
Sugar one, yeah.
Yep.
It's my least favorite.
Me too.
But my favorite's blueberry.
Oh, I like
blueberry. I'm a blueberry guy, too.
Really? I'm a cherry guy. I like blueberry a lot, too, though. Interesting. All right. Without making a podcast out of this, what's the best way to kill a buck, KC?
pattern a buck for a bed to food source pattern in the evening for a September 1 opener. You see him do it 2 days in a row, he's going to do it on the opener, and you can shoot him.
Eric?
I don't know if it's the best, but it's my favorite, and it's just to watch a bed, or dadgummit, watch a buck bed.
Broadhead.
And then go stalk him and shoot him when he gets up.
All right. What about you, Greg?
Best way to kill a buck is the easiest way it is to kill him. Like, I don't know.
Add a feeder.
A pinch point is hard to beat.
That's what
pinch
I put.
Point in the rut is.
That's what I put. I mean, even outside the rut, like, if you're going to bow hunt them, kind of got to have a pinch a lot of times. So,
yeah.
I always at least feel the most confident when I'm hunting in a place where I'm like, deer, if they come through here, they won't be out of range. You know what I mean? I like that a lot. Yep. So, yep. I put out of a saddle on a good wind in a pinch. I like to be in a tree hunting out of a saddle. So we have these things that they gave us last year called Source Jackets. They're a jacket that First Light offers, and I really like the Source Jacket. It's kind of a light to mid layer, Inspector. They had this like real retro look, you know, I know that, like the Bottomlands camo has been a pretty popular mm-hmm. piece for a lot of guys, 'cause it's got this retro throwback thing going on. And a lot of people are wearing the Bottomlands and stuff. Spectre kind of looks like that. It's kind of got a Bottomlands feel. It's like a little bit darker pattern, but it looks good. And in a lot of places, even in lighter country that we hunt, but it has the retro look. So we're going to set aside the First Light stuff for obvious reasons. What is the best retro camo pattern ever, Eric?
I really like the Real Tree Wetlands we got on your chair here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks a lot like the Typha in First Light.
It sure does, doesn't it? I didn't even think about that. What about you, Greg? You're a retro guy.
I mean, of the owner of a lot of retro camo patterns, I don't know what any of them are called.
Yeah.
But I have this one really cool... Winchester jacket camouflage pattern. I don't know. I didn't know Winchester made camo, but it's one of my favorite patterns. I have no idea what it's called, but
I'll do some searching on that. So Greg, by the way, currently is wearing a shirt with an eagle. What else is on that shirt?
It's got an eagle, got a bear, bison, moose. It's got all the North American big game.
And then the overshirt is Realtree? Is that Realtree?
Yeah, it's a Realtree.
What brand? Or what?
I don't know. I just know it's from like...
That's old. I think it says on the chest right there. See it?
I mean, it says Realtree.
Just Realtree?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not an original Realtree, but that's like second or third generation.
Yeah, it's like 90s. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Casey?
ASAT camo.
ASAT.
Which actually does go back in the First Light. They used to run some ASAT stuff before they made their own patterns, or even while they still did. But it's like breakup camo to the max. So, like, you see a dude wearing it, it didn't even look like leaves or trees or stuff. You know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's really cool. And actually, it's one of those weird things where you can't get away with any movement. But if you're, like, sitting still in the woods, like, stuff does not know you're there.
Yeah. I really like Realtree Advantage Classic, and you can look that up. But I used to wear what we called the gorilla suit, which is like a big, huge...
The Abominable Snowman.
Abominable Snowman looking...
coverall.
Coverall, yeah. Thank you. And it was a Walls coverall, and that was like my outside layer. It was like an XL, just big old... thing, you know, put all my jackets on and then put that on for an extra layer at the end. And it was, if you go and watch any of our YouTube videos from like probably like 2020, even parts of 2021 maybe, and earlier, I likely on a cold day will have that thing on, so you can see what I'm talking about. It's got the Advantage Classic pattern, I think.
It's got post oak leaves in the
yeah
in the pattern,
which is, we grew up in post oak country, so mm-hmm. it just feels like hunting to me. Yeah. You know what
you're
I mean?
Wearing it on the big Kansas buck stock.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
In 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dang.
I took the big Abominable Snowman off about 150 yards out from that buck. In the bottom, in the bottom of the draw.
Shedding layers.
Yep. All right. Greg, You have the best chance of stealing my answer here, I feel like. Maybe not. You have the money to pay for 5 years of leasing a deer hunting property anywhere in the world. Where is it at? It's all got to be in one location for 5 years.
And you have the opportunity to manage that location.
So that, yeah, that 5 years is saying, like, we're going to be managing for deer that might be mature at the end of this thing.
For me, it was kind of between Kansas and Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing it's big deer country and, like, you got a five-year lease
yeah.
to kill, you know, five big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be one of those two places.
Those are good places. Eric.
Pike County, Illinois.
Oh, it's a good place. That is a good place, man.
I'm glad we didn't say give a dollar amount because that let Eric choose Pike County. Because it doesn't matter how much money you got, you got the money to do the 5 year
that's
thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. If we said dollar amount, I wouldn't get mine either. What's yours?
Mine is Eastern Nebraska.
Not Eastern Texas?
Not Eastern Texas for sure. But I think that Eastern Nebraska has everything you need except for good public ground. It's got some, but it's a lot of pressure. But if you got a big chunk on private in Eastern Nebraska, boy, it's a good spot.
Yeah, I like it. Webb County, Texas for me.
That's cool.
Or maybe LaSalle, whatever the other one is down there. It's like renowned. I feel like that if you had the money – A, it's where it's that's I shot my first buck in Webb County, but on a 100-acre parcel that was owned by the foreman of my dad's best friends. And so shot my first deer down there, and it just feels like it's kind of like the Advantage Classic pattern to me. It's like that's where I'd love to go again. There's so many deer, and there's so much history now down there of just like growing big deer. They're shooting, you know, they're not shooting deer till they're seven a lot of times down there. So I think it'd be a really, like you would shoot, if you had a great place down in Webb County, I think for sure you'd shoot, like if it was a decent sized chunk of land, you'd shoot a 180 in 5 years, I think.
Let me ask you this. Not that I have anything, not that there's anything wrong with that, but could you do it if you didn't hunt corn?
You could do it with cottonseed.
Or any feeders. Could you go down there, and assuming the place has got ample amount of resources, could you
do what, shoot a 180?
Could you shoot a 180 in 5 years?
Not with a bow, probably. I mean, I would say you have a better chance for sure of not shooting one.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to – the reason you're asking that is because you know it's
– I know how it's
one of the most
there.
Difficult places in the world to hunt deer because unless you can bait.
Yeah.
Because it's literally monotony of just brush and cactus.
Stuff you can't get through.
Yeah, you can't walk through. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Anyway, yeah, that's my mine. Eric, what's your least favorite hunting condition?
Hot and muggy.
Hot and muggy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you consider hot?
Like
almost 65, eh? Yeah.
Sorry, Eric. Above 75?
Yeah.
I think mine is rain, period. Mm-hmm. I hate hunting in the rain.
Hot heat for me.
Yeah, mine's hot heat. Like, what we experienced in Tennessee, like, was like, like with mosquitoes and the buffalo gnats biting.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I wasn't there.
Me too.
It was not fun.
Would you rather hunt 90 or 0 degrees?
90. Absolutely. Even though I hate the heat, I don't like zero.
Depends on what kind of hunting. Like if.
Deer hunting.
If I'm in a car and I can like see deer and then like go make moves on them, then I'm all about hunting at 0 degrees. Okay. But
I'm 0 degrees.
I'm zero for sure too. Mm. Yeah. I don't like it. I've hunted quite a bit in zero and single digit type degrees, but it stinks, man. But like 90 is terrible. I don't feel like hunting when it's 90 at all. All right, Greg.
Yeah,
this I know your answer, but best hunting
you
truck.
Know it.
Your best hunting the best hunting truck you could have. What is it?
That's a early 2000s Ford F-150.
Why is that?
I don't know. Ford has gotten pretty good at making trucks.
Yeah,
they were the first to do it, and they've had many years' experience of making trucks. So I think they make a pretty good truck.
Did you like the Alan Jackson commercial when he did "Buy me a Ford truck and cruise it up and down the road"?
I don't remember that one.
Oh man.
Nobody chose Tesla truck.
No.
Okay.
I might one day. What'd you pick?
I picked Dodge. I've been a Chevy guy my whole life, but I came upon a Dodge at one point, and it's been a pretty good truck.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'd have to go a Dodge. I think I overall it's held up probably better than my Chevys did, but maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? It's all.
I put the buck truck in the buck truck's a Chevy, yeah. But it's the buck truck, man.
Yeah, but didn't you think it wasn't going to survive a couple months
ago? It might not. Yours might not either, though.
I mean, I don't currently think it's not going to.
We're in a race of whose truck's going to break down first right now.
Oh, Chevy, I love your trucks. Please send me one.
Yeah, it's
dreams,
still
my, man, dreams.
But, man, you know, there's more to the truck than just, you know, the components.
All you got to do is just high center that mug on the transmission box at 13,000 feet, and all of a sudden you got a not your your least yeah. favorite truck.
Cash plunkers right there, yeah. Man. Eric?
I put the buck truck, too.
Oh! Let's go!
I've only owned one truck in my life. It's been a Dodge Dakota, and I didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Best deer hunting caliber, Greg?
It's the 30-30.
Let's go! Let's go!
I don't. It's probably not the. No, I just have to because I've killed probably 20 some deer with 30-30.
That's where I'm at, dude. I have to say the 243.
Yeah.
Because I mean, just killed a bunch of deer with it, and I don't know. I don't like guns that kick hard, and that's about as hard as I want something to kick.
Mm-hmm. Eric,
this is my I don't know answer.
Yeah.
So in Illinois, you have to have like an extra license to carry to have a gun. So. Eric doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not anymore, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Y'all lost y'all's mayor, governor, or whatever?
That's Chicago. So.
Oh, okay.
That's all of Illinois in it.
Mm, pretty much. That's the way they treat it.
So I put the 270 because it is, in my opinion, the most versatile.
I thought about that
guy. I guess 270 is considered a Magnum, right? So I like the Magnum cartridges, you know, something a little bit bigger that you can kill most everything in North America with, but still kill whitetails with.
I'm sure there's nobody out there that has any opinions on this, but if you do, same thing. Send Casey a DM at kcsmith.nontypical.com. What's your favorite type of deer, non-typical or typical?
I think I've changed. I used to just want the biggest deer possible, which is going to end up being a non-typical most of the time, but I like big typical racks. Big typical 8 points in particular. I'm a big fan of these days.
BTAs.
Greg?
I have no preference, but I really do like a giant typical. It's hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just non-typical.
Yeah, it's an Illinois like thing, man.
Like big.
That's right, dude.
I'm a typical guy too. I think that if you find a typical with like hardly any trash that goes like 160 plus, that's a thing of beauty, man. Like another thing that you and I have talked about this quite a bit, a big typical always looks big, but a big or high scoring non-typical, I should have said high scoring, doesn't always look big. And so like we see these, there's some of these like YouTube channels, for instance, that'll put the score in the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the thumbnail, and even on thumbnail where we're trying to make it look as big as possible, the deer doesn't look like it scores that. But we know some of these guys, they're probably not lying.
Mm-hmm.
They may be a few inches off, who knows, but they're probably not lying too bad. The thing is, an 8 point in Illinois or Iowa or somewhere where big deer grow with some extra junk, he does go 180. Mm-hmm. But he's really like, he may be a 154 with junk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's just got, they're just adding every little inch popper on the base and, you know, things kicking out and flying out everywhere. And so you end up with like, you know, 26 more inches and he does go 180 technically, but he's just a 154 inch eight, which is also a huge deer, but it doesn't make you think 180 when you see it. I've seen a deer. We get a lot of these type of deer around here that in our neck of the woods that grow lots of points. And you'll see the deer somebody kills. It's like a 176 or 180 or whatever. 170s, most of them, is kind of where they top out. And you look at them in person, and you're like, golly, that is a thin-antlered little jackrabbit mm-hmm. right there, you know. But it's got 27 scoreable.
Yeah, you're not measuring mass beyond main beam.
Yeah, you start adding 4-inch tines all over the place, mm-hmm. and things add up quick. Yeah. You know?
And another thing that's like that that's weird is there's this genetic that occurs in some areas where it's like a deer will have a main beam and a brow tine, and then after that it's like a mace. It's just like a mm-hmm. ball with a bunch of stickers coming yep. right off of it. And yep. those deer can score in the 200s.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, if you did water displacement, it wouldn't do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like 100.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it'd be like half of it.
yeah.
Not diminishing those trophies.
No, they're cool.
It's just, it's strange how, back to your point, like, the deer from Illinois over there, big no matter who's looking.
Right.
You know, because yeah. he's a world-class 8-point.
Yeah, there's just nothing extra there. It's all mm-hmm. – what he scores is what he looks like, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of – that's why I like big typicals, man. Yeah. Game animals in North America. All right. So, Casey, talk a little bit about what a game animal
okay,
is.
Okay. We went with conceptual game animals as opposed to classified as game animals, because that's going to change from state to state. And one of the discrepancies we noticed is that in most states, turkeys are not considered big game animals, even though they are managed and treated as such. There's no other bird outside of a tundra swan that I know of that you have a tag for. Sandhill cranes, you have an endorsement or something like that, but you don't have tags for the specific birds. But, you know, those are kind of regional.
I think there are some tags for eiders or something yeah. up in Alaska, maybe.
Yeah, so a lot of that stuff, you're kind of confirming the point there, is like it's the exception, not the rule. Turkeys across the board throughout the U.S., as far as I know, all have tags. Mm. Therefore, they're managed as a big game animal, I would say, and they have drawings for some of them and stuff. So we're going to include turkeys in here as one of the things, also wild hogs, and Greg had a good like blanket statement. Anything that has a wild huntable population is going to count as a North American big game animal, even though it's probably not listed in the 27 or whatever of the official North American big game animals, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, what is your top five?
Top five, 5-1 here. Turkeys.
Nice.
They're cool. They make a lot of noise. They're colorful. They're tasty.
Mm.
Elk, number 4.
Mm.
They also make a lot of noise. They're big. They're tasty.
The same thing as turkey.
Yeah, pretty much just like a turkey. Just not that's your favorite statement.
Yeah, if you know me, then you know I'm being facetious here.
See, feces fish. Moose, the biggest of the cervids, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Which are also called elk in Russia. Mm-hmm. Bison. I think that is a cool game animal. They're not super wild and wary, really, but these days. But they're just cool, man. They're huge. Also tasty. And then I have to do this just because I have always loved this game species as much as any other, but white-tailed deer. That's my number one.
It's a good one.
They're also tasty.
I am surprised you didn't include bighorn sheep on your top five.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. But, I mean, I probably won't ever get to hunt one.
Yeah. You going to hunt a bison?
Well, I want to.
You want to hunt a bighorn too?
I know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess with your list. No, but I just know you and know that you really love bighorn sheep.
I like sheep a lot, yeah. But deer species take 3 of the 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you run out of room.
Yeah, you start running out of room. So turkeys are accessible. There's other things, I guess, there. Bison mm-hmm. and sheep maybe could have been, you know, some but interchangeable there, but I don't know. Bison, the story of America that intertwines with bison is a little more in-depth and intriguing than bighorn sheep.
Yep.
I like don't it. Tell the Wild Sheep Foundation that.
Eric?
I have mule deer.
As five?
As five. Yep, okay. 5-1. Mule deer, blacktail, bighorn.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Bighorn, whitetail, and elk.
Mm. Mm, very cool. I didn't know you liked bighorn that much. It's interesting to know.
Same thing. Probably won't ever get a hunt it, but yeah. I think they're cool.
Greek?
All right. I did whitetail, axis deer, bighorn sheep, elk, and bison.
Dude. Very nice.
Me and Greg with the bisons.
You have elk on your list, Eric?
Mm-hmm. Bison are just cool.
They are, man. They're so cool. All right. Who will be the next president, Casey? We don't have to answer.
This is going to be controversial. I don't think they're going to let Donald Trump win ever again.
I don't think they are either.
I don't think they are. So I would, if you want me to make a prediction, DeSantis will be the next president of the United States. my top five coolest game animals.
I forgot you hadn't said it yet.
That's all right.
It's a good interjection, though.
The wild hog is my number five.
Dang.
I have killed many wild hogs, so I have an affinity for them just because it's kind of like a thing. You know what I mean?
You got that hog tattoo on your...
That's right, on my...
Fuji.
The mountain goat. I like mountain goats, man. They're just unique. There's nothing else like them.
Yeah, they're cool.
Axis deer is my number three.
Golly, look at y'all, Axis boys.
I'm telling you.
It's because y'all are in Axis. Up. Me and Eric are over hunting grass.
I meet up with them, dude.
And 90-pound whitetail toes.
Whitetail is my number two, and elk is my number one.
Mm-hmm.
They are so cool.
They are.
But, yeah, good list, everybody. I don't think I have anything to argue, except that I would call them buffalo still.
Yeah.
I like the name buffalo better than I do bison.
I do, too, but bison's easier to say. It's kind of like ebonics.
You don't
want to
confuse them with a smallmouth buffalo either.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just see bison as the plural version of buffalo.
Interesting. Buffalo is the plural.
Yeah. But.
And bison is singular and plural as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to turn your nose up to say bison, but you do to say bison.
Oh. It's like Reese's. We were talking about this a while ago. Some people say Reese's instead of Reese's. Those are the people you don't want to be friends with. You stay away from those people.
Dang. All right, we got a couple more here, y'all. Favorite buck truck episode, like, the guys haven't seen the edits yet, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the favorite episode, as far as, like, the favorite trip, what are you most likely or most looking forward to kind of, like, seeing because it was such a fun hunt or whatever?
You are going to go last because you have seen most of the edits, so you're going to have a different perspective, or maybe not. Yeah. Eric?
Mine is Arkansas.
Mm.
It was the most fun, maybe not success-wise, but, I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Good camp, man. Mm-hmm. Had our friend Scott and Clay there. Clay Newcomb was there, so good time.
That's, I have to say Nebraska because as far as just a moment and, like,
yeah.
Y'all two shooting deer and
that's cool.
The pizza.
Yeah, dude. I was this close to choosing Nebraska. The only reason I actually didn't choose Nebraska, the only reason, is because it felt like as soon as we were done, like, back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it was just like you almost didn't get to, like, relish the moment for very long.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to say this is a hard one. I have a definitive answer, like, no question. But there's the second place is all other six for sure because this was just the coolest thing, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name any one of them, you're like, oh, yeah, man, that's the right answer. But for me, it was Arkansas as well, Eric, because it's just it was so much fun. Mm-hmm. It was fun doing the thing, man. Yeah. It felt like we were just hunting deer, just doing woodsman stuff.
We had warm meals. Get done.
Yeah. Yeah,
wood-burning stove.
Man, it was fun. It was fun. They were all fun. If you take the A and the R off of Arkansas, mm-hmm. that's mine.
That's a close one.
Because of a couple of reasons. A, It was the biggest buck I shot this year. Biggest buck you shot this year, too.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of biggest buck of my life.
Ever shot. Yeah. Yeah. Giant. Giant deer. Oh, my gosh. Y'all are going to love this footage, dude.
That deer makes me throw up when I look at those pictures. Really
I'm telling y'all right now, this video, we do have videos that have a million views. If this one doesn't have a million at some point, it will be a shame because this is just the coolest stuff, which I'm not like, it's not going to hurt my feelings or anything. I'm just saying, like, it is that cool that I feel like people, if they've liked other videos of ours, they should like this one because it's literally maybe the best video we've put out. Both the kill shots are on film. Both are great footage. It's just awesome, man. It's just so cool. And then the other reason that I liked this episode, or this the trip at least, was I shot my deer early and I got to like relax for a couple days and just kind of be like, just kind of feel that we are the champions feeling for a second, you know, mm-hmm. and like not think about trying to kill a deer for a couple days too much, you know, outside of like trying to help you. I got to just kind of like the pressure was off for a couple days. And then after that, I started feeling the pressure because we're losing time during the rut, you know, and I got to tags elsewhere. But overall, the trip was nice. We had a good camp. We got some warm meals and it's just, I don't know. It's just a little bit nostalgic for me, mm-hmm. too, up there.
I almost said it because of that reason, because it's just like a thing that you and I have been doing for a long time, so yep. It's cool for that one to go well.
Yep. All right, so here's the last question. It's going to be a kind of a long one as far as we're going to all kind of explain why we feel certain ways about these things. We're going to tell a couple of quick stories about each one of these things. But we're going to go around the room again, and we're going to go with everybody's favorite hunt of everybody in the room on the Element channel so far. So it can't be any of the Buck Truck episodes. It's got to be a hunt that's on our channel right now that you can go and watch. And so, like, if it was me, I would say my favorite hunt that I watch on our channel that was involving Casey, and that was involving Greg, and then that was involving Eric, and then that was involving me. So we're going to start. Is it okay if we start with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. This is going to probably steal a lot of people's. Eric's first buck is my favorite from Eric, for sure, just because it's like, first off, Eric, you worked very hard to make that happen, and I'm very thankful that you did it. And it was a well-done video. You edited it yourself, and it was just really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Glad to be there that day when it happened. Mm-hmm. So it was yeah, pretty awesome, man. Tyler, your Iowa buck is my favorite video. Yep.
Interesting.
Because I was there for part of, like, your Iowa hunt, not that video, per se. But maybe, like, the whole Iowa hunt, but it culminates in that video. Mm-hmm. Because it's just an epic encounter. I also was there for the phone call, which is also a really fun mm-hmm. thing to do. It just was just cool, man. And it's also very much in the struggle days, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember those times. It's too fun, you know.
Man, that is very much struggle.
Yeah.
Like, that's in the thick of it.
Yeah, it was tough.
We're, like, caught in between, like, we want to do this for a living, but nobody else knows that this actually has any legs.
Mm-hmm.
And because we want to do it for a living, we're, like, fully selling out. And I've said this before, but I literally went to that hunt with $1.67 in the account. And that's what I had, man. Mm-hmm. I had cash. I had some cash on me because I played some gigs a couple weeks before. But it's just like, you know, just sleeping in the truck. I did sleep in the hotel one night there. But, man, it was a tough time, man.
Yeah. And then, Greg, I like the Hill Country Buck video.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's a cool deer. I also like the pace of that video. I like – we don't get to do this as much – but I like the slow B-roll stuff of you getting ready in the morning and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
good
too.
Artsy shots, you know. I really enjoy that stuff because it feels like a deer hunt, like straight up. But one of the things, I'm going to talk really good stuff about Buck Truck for a long time, but one of the things I don't like about Buck Truck is how fast-paced it always seems to have to be. And yours was a lot more like what I remember deer hunting being like growing up.
Mm-hmm. That's just what I was doing. I was just hunting at my family's place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Man, that's a good point. I like that. I like that kind of stuff too. Buck truck, it's so much footage, and you can't just, you know, you got to make it into something people will watch, and it ends up being kind of fast paced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which will be it'll be great.
Yeah,
but I enjoy the different stuff.
Yeah,
you know, that's what's
well, and we do put out, we do have different things, like the mule deer hunt from this year is like, I mean, there's literally not any music until the last 30 seconds, and it's 1 hour and 9 minutes. You know.
Mm-hmm. And then my personal hunts, my family elk hunt from, what was that, 2020? Is that, no, it's 2018. 2018. Yeah, that's one of my favorites just because it's got good memories. And I like elk hunting videos and, I don't know, really was hard to pick a deer video because it's been a lot of cool stuff happening. Yeah, so I picked the elk one.
There's like over 400 videos on the channel, yeah, and a lot of those are deer hunting videos. Mm-hmm. Greg, how about you?
Well, of course, I picked Eric's first buck.
Yep.
It's only killing the channel. But
Greg and Eric don't have quite as many videos to choose from on our channel yet, but yeah, they're coming.
Slim pickings.
Yeah.
But Tyler, I picked your Kansas buck, what was that, 2021?
21, yep.
I mean, that's hard to beat. The footage of the kill shot is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that is a really fun watch. Casey's, my favorite Casey hunt is the New Mexico elk hunt.
That was fun. That is
a lot of action, as some of the best videos on the channel, I think. And for myself, I had to pick the Texas public land one because it was cool to shoot a buck and have everybody there and celebrate with some people. That was the first time I've had, like, you know, you know, some bros around to celebrate a deer kill. So
yeah,
it's cool.
So that was a fun time.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the 2021 Kansas buck footage of that shot being good. I hear that with those reel that posted on Meteor's Instagram, and I hear that's their most viewed reel ever.
Man, who'd you hear that from?
People. I don't want to say names.
It's almost like you can see that stuff. That's cool. Man, it's because it's a classic moment, man.
Yeah.
Filmed by a classic guy.
Yeah. Speaking of.
Classic
what's
rip.
What are your classical favorite?
Man, who should I start with? I'll start with KC. See, I didn't do the question right, so. But KC is probably, this isn't just episode, right? This is like hunt.
Sure, yeah.
I think this is going to be surprising you, but Oklahoma 2021 with you is probably my favorite hunt with
That's
you.
Cool, thanks. Yeah. That was a pretty sweet thing.
We struggled a lot, but I feel like we saw a lot. And came close a few times, and it was just a lot of fun.
Oh, so you don't mean the videos the deer
before
we killed.
Y'all killed?
I mean, when you and I were there.
Yeah, when it was just me and you.
Oh. Yeah, there's some, man, you did a good. You were starting to knock it in the head, footage wise. Then, dude, you got some great shots in that stuff.
And then Tyler is the mule deer.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
It's hard
to beat that one.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was on my radar for sure when I was picking.
Yep. And then Greg is probably his Texas land. Public land buck.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, favorite episode to watch of Greg is Tennessee with Hunter.
Yeah, I know. The fist pump. I thought about that before we started making the list.
Yeah, the fist pump, dude.
What about Michael? Do we?
No.
Say?
You can say what everybody's favorite one is, but we haven't released the footage yet.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
the spike.
Yeah.
The spike for sure. Michael shot at a spike this year.
He did.
He did not kill it.
Can I give a Michael moment?
Sure.
I was trying to figure out how to fit this in while ago. We were in Arizona chasing elk. And Eric and I have, I mean, sorry, and Greg and I have seen elk. And the Midwesties have not seen elk. We're chasing these elk up the mountain.
I know where you're going. Where you going with this?
And I shoot this cow elk after we call him in. It was cool, man. It was fun. And then Eric and Michael are further down the mountain from us because two guys are easier to hide than four. They can still get footage from down where they were, and they did a good job of that. But Michael, I think it was him.
Yeah, it was him.
Eric's like,
I was not
a
part of this.
he runs up and he says, "Did y'all see those two cow elk down there?" It was two fawn mule deer. I mean, they weighed 60 pounds, if that. They were the tiniest things ever.
Granted, the fawn mule deer are kind of a little more brownish than normal mule deer. Like, they usually are typically grayer when they get older, you know?
Yeah, but dude.
No, I'm just trying to help Michael a little bit here. But.
It was a good Michael moment, though.
Two 40-pound animals that just let us walk by them. Yeah. Like, they had no clue.
They thought that we just walked right by cow elk.
Perfect.
And Michael also thought that we were in Arizona to shoot a 40-pound animal. okay, good. Sorry.
Hey, you did go to Arizona to shoot a.
I did. And I did it.
all right. My favorite hunt, as everybody else's of Eric's, is his first buck. I thought he did a really, really good job. If you haven't seen it, it actually has been enjoyed. Like, people have enjoyed that hunt. I've seen where people have enjoyed that hunt. But it's like it is just a good production overall. Like, you get the backstory of Eric's like hunting career in it, and you get to like understand why this particular buck means so much to him, whether or not, you know, it means a lot to you to watch it, or it seems like the biggest deer ever or whatever. You see, like, this is important to him, and you see why. You get to see like Eric's pure view of what's going on here. So I like it a lot for those reasons. And it is like he spent a lot of time on it editing it. So like it's just, and it's got like, it brings in footage from in the past and stuff. So it's just, it's a high production and I like it a lot. Whereas like some of our videos are turned around as kind of more a vlog or something like that. You know, this is definitely like it's a story that self-encased basically. Greg's Texas public land buck is just, you know, hard to beat, man. It's cool. Self-film footage, people shooting in your direction, about to hit you with bullets as you're going in.
So people accusing you of lying. That not being the case.
Yeah. Gosh, people are... Anyway, so I really like all that, but as much as anything, I like the fact that this is a spot that KC and I have hunted for a long time, and we have had some encounters. We have known that if we could hunt there in November more, we probably would have a way better chance of killing deer. And I just love this spot. And then the last thing about it is the deer is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like the giant like fork side that he has on that one side, that's just kind of non-typical thing going on. It's just awesome. It was also really cool to see that buck is like, he's like a brute. I mean, like, he had like a kind of short nose look to him, kind of just, but like, it was cool to see those deer go down and to get a perspective on how big the deer actually are. Because it just doesn't matter, man. Like, if you're sitting in a tree stand looking at deer coming through, it just, it doesn't matter. When I've been, I mean, I guess for me, if we've been hunting the Midwest all year, when I see does come by, I realize, like, they're skinnier, but you just don't realize how small they are in Texas, in most of Texas.
Dude,
you know,
some of these East Texas does probably weigh less than 100 pounds mature on the hoof.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Like, because the deer you shot, we have a lot of trail camera pictures of him. He
dressed at, what, 98?
Yeah. And he's filled out, big neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks like a toad. Mm-hmm. But then when we walked up on him, you're just like, I mean, you probably weren't that thrown off because you've hunted a bunch of Texas deer, but I haven't hunted Texas deer in the last, like, hardly at all, just a few times in the last, or I haven't killed Texas deer in many in the last few decades.
Yeah, I was thrown off when I killed the buck at my family's place because we had just, like, killed deer in, like, Kansas.
Yeah.
And I walked up on that. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
that
is it's weird. Really small. That's exactly how I felt, too, because we had been killing deer in Nebraska. And, like, the deer I killed in Nebraska was thick, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, you start the season off doing that. You see these big old South Dakota deer that are literally, like, 2 inches of fat in spots of them, you know. And then you go here in November and, It was a November deer, or was it December?
It was December.
It was December. December 3rd.
Early December. 3rd,
that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right, because everything kind of moved back this year, we felt like. But anyway, I just thought it was such a surprise to kind of, but also a good thing to get perspective on, so that, like, you know, if I shoot a deer at some point, you know, I don't end up just being shocked at, you know, what he is. Mm-hmm. And it was good to see, like, that, so you know, because we have width restrictions here, so you get to kind of know, like, what the deer is actually going to be as far as width and stuff goes.
If you're watching YouTube videos, you're like, oh, that deer's for sure 13. Like, he's probably, like, almost 14. That's too close.
I'm telling you, dude.
That's too close.
I'm telling you.
It's scary.
If you think he's 13 or 14, you better think he's 15.
Yeah.
You know, and he might still not make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the last two, the ranch buck is probably my favorite video of mine, just because it has my kids in it, mm-hmm. and it's just this long story about this whole, like, journey that I've been on for in the hunting, my hunting mentality and everything, to have my own property and stuff, and it just happens to be just a giant buck, you know, from my property. And then KC, there's some really good ones, dude. And I filmed some hunts for you over the years that I, like, you know, that I had love the video,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times we just, especially early on the ground and stuff, we couldn't make it happen. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
There's a lot of hunts that, like, the memory, the video doesn't do justice.
Yeah.
Which I think is what you're getting at.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's just like, man, I love those hunts, but the video, I mean, even if the video is good, we don't have a kill in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, Oklahoma 2021,
it's hard to beat, man.
That is just my favorite, dude. Because, like, it's a high production, too. Like,
I didn't think about that video when I put my list down too.
Yeah.
It might have been up
there. I like it, dude. I'm telling you, if you haven't watched that video yet, you need to. That video, the footage, not just because I was a cameraman, but the footage of the kill shot, like, and what happens directly after is unbelievable.
It's the next million view reel out there.
It probably
sure.
is. Yeah. I mean, it's just so cool, and it's just the old buck is just old as dirt, and, you know, KC shoots him at 12 yards. I mean,
it's unconventional
just,
shot.
Yeah, unconventional place that we're hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything was cool, man. And so I think that's one of my favorites on the entire channel, absolutely. So
that's cool,
maybe,
man.
Maybe my favorite. But yeah, that kind of wraps our whole podcast here. I hope you kind of like that thing. If you like it, send us a message and tell us, and we may do some more stuff like this in the future. We also would like to ask you guys for some questions, anything you have about anything, really, but it's in particular, especially deer hunting, deer setups, hog hunting setups, preseason, postseason, shed season, you know, scouting season, rut, pre-rut, scrapes, rubs, anything you can think of. We will do our best to answer it. You send us questions in email or in the DMs. We'll start throwing that together, and we'll do a Q&A podcast at some point.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And also, I think that everybody's pretty fired up about turkey hunting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Young Michael, who we've been talking about, is out doing some turkey hunting. He will have some good stuff to talk about. We might have a podcast with him next week talking about that stuff. And just so you can look forward to some things coming from us, we'll be doing a good amount of turkey hunting this year,
mm-hmm.
In some unique stuff. I'll just say it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're kind of an adventure seeker when it comes to hunts, I think the stuff that we have coming down the pipe here is going to be up your alley.
Yeah.
Speaking of turkey hunting videos, if you hadn't looked, Tyler killed a bird in Missouri last year with Adam and Chad Keith. I was there too. Eric was there as well. Those are the, you know, Adam's one of the Land and Legacy guys. With her buddy Matt. We call him Madam, Matt and Adam. but that video is, like, it's cool because they have a system of, like, how they turkey hunt. And it's very stoic, traditional, just, like, the way it's done. Mm-hmm. And they have a good job of going about it, too, because they don't really, like, pass judgment on if you or somebody who does something a little different. It's just like, this is the way we do it. We don't do it this way. Yeah. And it was cool to do.
Well, the good thing about the way we did that video is that those guys that, where they follow the Ten Commandments of turkey hunting or whatever it's called.
The Torah.
Yeah. That's
turkey hunting Torah.
they'll be happy that I actually shot one that we called in over one decoy. You know, and
I think you stood up too fast at the end, though. A little too much celebration.
Yeah, I shouldn't have even told anybody thank you, probably. I should have thanked the universe or something, maybe. But sorry, dry humor. Guys, chill. We're going to get out of here, but I hope you guys are getting out and doing some fishing and stuff, because that's what I really want to be doing right now. But I'm editing Buck Truck for you. Appreciate you guys. Remember, this is your element.
Living it.
Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.